hearts were filled with fright as Goliath started towards them. Compared to a man, this giant stood so tall.
But David said, "My God has led me here to defeat him. So don't compare him to me, just compare him to God. When compared to God, everything's small. There's no giant that compares at all to the Holy One who sits upon his throne. So when you come to face a mountain so high, one glimpse of God brings you down to size. Satan will flee, you'll gain victory when you compare it to God."
We still have like 2 minutes. Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for bringing us back to your house where we can learn, worship, and praise your name. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what the testings and the blessings we've had this week. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and turn to page 66. 66. At Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died. On Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty. Trembled at the lives burned till my guilty souls to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. That brought it down to men. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Thank you for your singing. Then turn back to page 55, when the roll is called up yonder. 5-5.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when the chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk about his wonder. Then in all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Thank you for your singing. Thank you, Mrs. Rowe. All right, our announcements today. Today is March 26th. It's Liam's birthday, in case nobody knew. Pastor Reeves from North Platte Baptist Church and North Platte, Nebraska, thank you, Nebraska, will be preaching for us in the PM service. And there will be a trustee meeting at 5:20 p.m. tonight. Wednesday, the 29th, Bible preaching and prayer at 7. Saturday, April 1st, no April Fools. Churchwide Operation Saturation and Soul Winning will be at 10 o'clock. And then, he said that twice. Okay. It says that Pastor Reeves will be here tonight on the PM service twice here. That's cool. And then April 9th, the Resurrection Sunday. And there's updates on the Operation Saturation and other interesting things going on. If you don't have your bulletin, they're in the back. All yours, sir.
All right, that was good singing this morning. That song, At Calvary. When I was at Baptist Bible College, I was in a song leading class, and, you know, At Calvary's a 4-4 time, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, you know, and At Calvary was one of those songs that was 4, four, and it seems like everybody got up to lead that song. I've heard it so many times that it's. But every time is that good four time, right? Yeah. But anyway, so heard that quite often. Of course, when the roll is called up yonder, well, that's going to be a great day. One day, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to ever be with the Lord. And then there's a time there we're going to be judged. We're going to have to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ and all those things. But then also in that verse of Scripture, it talked about Resurrection Sunday, resurrection. Here in just a few more weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter, Resurrection Sunday. But you know, Sunday, every Sunday is a celebration of what Christ did for us. Book of Revelation, it talks there about John, and John says on the Lord's Day, he was in the Spirit. That talks about the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, and that's today, and we can just praise God for all he's done for us. And this morning, we are going to be back in the book of Acts, chapter 16, and guess what? Today, we're going to get through it. Maybe. Everybody's applauding. It's only been 6 months. No, but anyway, here we're going to do our best to get through that. But before we, get into where our lesson is today, let's just do a little review real quick. Here, Paul is starting his second missionary journey, and here, and he comes with Silas. And Silas and Paul, they end up in Derbe and Lystra, and there where they find a young man by the name of Timothy. Or Timotheus, as it says here in verse 1, and we find out that Paul sees something good in Timotheus, and he decides he wants to take him with him as a partner in the ministry. He says, young man, let's go. He asks him to come with him in the ministry and different things. And then we found out also in verse 10 of that in that chapter, and it says, after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. That there was a change there. It says we now, and we wanted to point out to you that means that Luke is also there, because Luke is the author of the book of the human author of the book of Acts. And at that time, he's there with Paul. And when they heard the Macedonian call, he was enthused and says, "I want to go. I want to go with you." So at that time, before that, it was always, as he was writing, he said, they would do this and they would do that. Now it's we. So Luke is part of this group now. And then in verse 12, of course, Paul and Silas, they enter into Philippi. And it tells us a little bit about Philippi in Macedonia there. They had heard the Macedonian call, and that's the reason why Luke had decided to go with them. He wanted to go there. And also it says that they went to Philippi, and it was a city or part of Macedonia, a colony, and they stayed there certain days. And on the Sabbath day, it tells us that they normally, and we'll read this in chapter 17 if we get there today, you'll find out that Paul normally in his journeys, he always went to the Sabbath. He was always at the synagogue. He would go there and on the Sabbath day. But we find out here in this particular area, they were at a riverside to meet with some ladies there that were having a prayer meeting. And so it was important that we find out through the conversation. We don't know exactly all the conversation. I think I almost preached a whole message on there was no conversation in that when we came to that. But anyway, Paul got across the point that Jesus Christ was the reason that they were gathering, and he was God, and he made it clear to them. And that one of the ladies here, a certain woman, it says in verse 14, named Lydia, was a seller of the purple, but she, the Bible says there in verse 14, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. We talked about that God, the Holy Spirit moved into her life, and she realized that she was a sinner, lost, and came to the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And there, her life changed. It tells us, she went on to tell them that they found her faithful, that she wanted them to come and to stay with her, and to make her, and she would help them in the ministry. And I believe that she was a woman of means. She had money enough to help them and different things like that, and servants and things that could be of an assistant to them. And so then in verse 16, we find out Paul and Barnabas here, as they were praying, it says a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met them, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Here she is. She's a fortune teller. She prophesied about some things and told people about what was in the future and different things. But she had masters, people that were men that were over her, and they were making much money off of her. And but we find out here that this young lady, she seen Paul and Barnabas, and she began to say, tell them in verse last part of verse 17 there, and says, crying, and she went about crying after them, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." She was proclaiming that to people. And as I said before, it became as mockery to Paul. And we find out a little bit later here, there's a couple more verses there, and it says in verse 18, "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit." He knew it wasn't the girl. He knew it was the evil spirit that was in her. And he kept it says here, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. Now, Paul, she had been proclaiming that Paul and Silas, they had the power of God and all these things. But when the miracle is done here, Paul is very specific in that he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ." It's not in our power. It never will be in our power. It's in his power and him alone. And that's what the Apostle Paul was preaching. That's exactly what John and Peter said to the man that was lame from his that was sitting at the temple, and he was lame. They said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And say, it's always been and always shall be that Jesus Christ is the intent of our worship. He is the one that does the things. It's the Holy Spirit and the Lord and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved Lydia when she opened her heart to God. It's and so that's the working of the Holy Spirit here. So we see that the evil spirit came out of this girl. And of course, in verse 20 it says, "And it brought them," and she had, and it's verse 19, and it says, "The master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, and they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers." So they are losing money. This is a money situation there. And so they're going to bring these men before the judgment here, the magistrates. And they began to accuse them of some things. And it says, verse 20, they said that "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." He said here, neither being, these guys are Jews, and they're teaching us customs that are not lawful for us. They were not really concerned about the customs of the Romans and these things and all those things. They were concerned about the loss of the money that they had. When it seems like when people's pocketbook is touched, then things happen. And this is what they were accusing them, kind of really falsely accusing them of these things. But the magistrate here, and it says, "And a multitude," verse 20, "and a multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten." He said, "Yeah, they've done enough here. We're going to just show them. We're going to beat them." And then it says, "And commanded them to be beaten. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." And that's where they now they're ended up in jail. They're in prison. And we talked about last week what happened, the miracle at midnight that happened here. Before we get into the rest of this, I'm asking you all to bow your heads for a word of prayer. And as we look into the last part of this portion of Scripture and see what God is going to do miraculously. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we serve a great God. Lord, was with Paul as he journeyed. You brought him to the people that he needed to help him with Timothy and Luke, and Lord, with Silas. And Lord, it was so important, that decision that was made to take Silas. And Lord, we're going to see the reason here at the end of this chapter. And Father, I pray that you would just help us, that we might be able to understand your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and lives. Lord, that we just would yield ourselves to you. Father, that you would give us guidance and direction in all we do. Lord, I do pray that you be with our pastor as he comes in just a little bit, Lord, to bring the message this morning. Even now, Lord, prepare our hearts for that message to come. And Father, we just thank you that we can meet here on the Lord's Day, knowing, Lord, this is the day, Lord, you rose from the dead. And Father, I pray that you just help us to honor you and to glorify your name. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your care, your kindness that you show us every day. We're so thankful we serve a great God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here they are. Verse 25 says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." And so here we have Paul and Silas. They were chained up to the prison walls, and their feet were in shackles. They were in chains. They had been beaten. I'm sure that beating did not feel good. It was, not anything that was lightly done. And they were in a rough situation. I can't imagine going through what they have gone here. But we see here the attitude of Paul and Silas, that they were in a moment of prayer. They turned to God. You know, it's one thing in the Old Testament, one thing about David was always amazing to me. When David, even when he was faced against his sin and all these things, he always turned to God. He always knew that God was there to help him. And I believe that that's important for us to understand and to know that when we get into a situation where things are rough, things are not going exactly the way we think they ought to go, I don't know what it might be. It might be a financial issue. It might be a health issue. It might be some problems that come up in our life every day, these things, and we fail to turn to God. But here we see Silas and Paul as they're in prison. I mean, they have been unjustly beaten, and they have been put into prison. Why? Because they called on the name of the Lord Jesus, and they had a demon taken out of a young lady. They had been preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, telling people that the only way of salvation was through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they must believe in him and all for these things. And now we find them in jail praying. And you know, when I see that they're praying, I believe that's important. As Christians, a lot of times that's what we do. When something happens, what it should do anyway, is to pray to God. But the next thing that amazes me here in this portion of Scripture is that they sang. You know, there's some times when I don't really have a song in my heart. Believe it or not, sometimes things are I'm down, and there's some days that I wake up and I'm praising the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I use that and I sing that song sometimes. This is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. As you can see, I'm not all that good of a singer. But anyway, I get involved in that, and I sing. But here we are. They're in jail. They have been beaten. They're bleeding. But they're praying to God, knowing that He can give them the deliverance. And they're singing. They still have that song in their heart. They still have that ability to sing out to God. You know, I know sometimes at our house, my wife is in a lot of pain sometimes. You know, the thing that amazes me sometimes, when she's hurting real bad, she has a song in her heart. She's singing, praising God. You know, and that's an encouragement to me when I hear her sing. My wife has always had a very good voice. Years ago, she used to sing with Mrs. Swope, Sylvia, and she used to sing with her many times, and she liked singing. But you know what? She still has a song in her heart, even though sometimes she goes through a lot of pain. These guys were in pain. They were hurting. But what? God gave them a song in their heart. And I believe sometimes we need to sometimes think about that when we're going through things. And, you know, now we have that. I mean, to me, that's part of the miracle here at Midnight. I mean, that's a miracle to be able to pray and to sing and praise God because you're in prison and you've been beaten. That's one thing. But the Bible tells us in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds was loosened. So there they were. The earthquake took place. I mean, it was shaking enough that their bonds came loose. Those chains broke loose. And there they were. They were able to be freed. And they were all loosened. And verse 27 says, "And the keeper of the prison woke out of his sleeps, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled." And you know, in those days, the jailer said up there when they went to jail there, these prisoners were put in his charge. So if they escape, that meant he was going to have to pay the punishment for these guys. And a lot of those guys in there might have been in there for death penalties. I don't know. But anyway, he was thinking at this point, there's no use of me staying alive. These guys are gone, and they're going to kill me. And so he was going to take his own life right here. But the Bible tells us in verse 28, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." That's another miracle. Some of these other people in that prison, when they had their bonds left removed, I would have thought they would have wanted to get out of there as soon as they could. But we find out that something was happening here as they were in stocks there, and Paul and Silas had been praying and saying praises to God, all these things. The last part of verse 25 says, "And the prisoners heard them." Heard them. They heard what they prayed. They heard their singing and the joy that they had, the confidence they had in their God who was going to deliver them and all these things. And then all of a sudden, the earthquake happened and they were all let loose. These men, I believe, that were in that jail, they realized that there was something going on there more than what they could actually see. That God himself was now in the presence of them and was taking care of the situation. And they didn't move. They didn't leave the jail. And I believe also, as we read through this, we find out, I believe, that the jailer also heard Paul's prayer, and he heard them singing and praising God and all these things. And I imagine in Paul's prayer, he probably prayed something like the Romans Road, you know, and it let everybody know as he was praying that there was a way of salvation, that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he was praising God for those things. And those men heard those things, even the jailer. And so we find out here, Paul tells him, do thyself no harm. In verse 29, he says, then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. I mean, he was trembling. He was about ready to take his life, and now he heard that they were okay in the jail. And what does he do? He comes in here trembling. And then he says, called for a light, and trembling sprang into the jail and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I believe right here we have one of those moments of conversion here. Just like Lydia's heart was opened in the first part of this as she heard Paul and Barnabas and heard the gospel message, and she realized that there was a need of salvation, the jailer here, he asked him, what must I do to be saved? And so they tell him in verse 31, he said, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And so they were given a promise here that if you would accept Christ as your personal Savior and you really mean it, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it's going to touch the lives of others too. And I believe that that's important in our Christian lives, that we realize when we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, others ought to hear that message too. And we see it as it goes on here, and they asked, spake unto him the words. He tells them more what they said. They spake unto him the words of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And so they went to the house, and what did they do? Did they preach to them how great that Paul and Silas were? Let's see what God did for us. No, they preached to them Jesus Christ and how that they must accept him as their personal Savior and how they must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. I can imagine they talked about the Lord when he told them, in my Father's house are many mansions, in John chapter 14, in many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. God's gone to prepare a place for you. And, of course, we know down in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe that they preached Jesus to the jailer and his house. Verse 33 says, and he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. So we see here there was a conversion going on. Not a lot of verses, not a lot of things to tell us about what happened there. And I believe with my imagination, I can see in my mind's eye exactly some of the things that were happening there. And we see that this jailer, he was so thankful for what God had did for him. He took the disciples there, Paul and Silas, he took them home, and he took care of their wounds. He wanted to take care of them. I believe that he knew that they probably hadn't eaten or anything. He prepared food for them that they might be able to eat. And he told his household of the great things that they'd seen happen there in the jail there at midnight. And so as he did that, there were many here that believed in the Lord. And it says then, after he did that, and he said, and he was baptized. He was willing to follow whatever the disciples had said. And we know that the Lord taught us that when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the next step in obedience to him is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I remember one time when I was in Salina, and there was a lady in the church that was baptized, and she had accepted Christ as her personal Savior. And next couple of weeks, we got ready As a matter of fact, we had to use another church baptistry to baptize because they didn't have one at that time. And so we went over to Grace Bible Baptist there in Salina, and we used their baptistry. And I remember she was so happy. The whole week, she'd been out telling her neighbors and everything about Christ. And a lot of people were there that day that had accepted Christ as their Savior. And after she had been saved, and as I was baptizing her, I could hear her as she was coming down into the baptismal. She was just praising God. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I mean, that's the attitude she had. And I baptized her. I told her the baptism is nothing but telling everybody that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Baptism doesn't save you, but it shows others that you are saved, that you're following the Lord, you're willing to obey Him. And so as she was baptized, she went down and I said, I told her that I was going to baptize her in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of His death, risen in the glory of His resurrection, to walk in the newness of life. And when she came up out of the water, she grabbed her voice, and the first thing she said, "Praise God." You know, I believe that, and it surprised me, you know, but I mean, I heard her saying this, but I mean, it came out verbally. And I remember saying, "Praise God." Her name was Linda. I can't remember her last name right off hand. But anyway, when she came up out of the water, she was so thankful that God saved her soul. I believe that's exactly what the jailer felt here that day. When he accepted Christ as his personal Savior, he was thankful to follow God in the way. We find out the book of Philippians is one of the churches that the Apostle Paul writes to, and many times he says in there, "I'm thankful for the remembrance of you." He remembered back to this time, I think many times, that jailer getting saved and his house, and they continued there. And it said there in verse 34, "And when they had brought them into the house and set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." You know, when dad gets saved and mom gets saved and that's just spilling out in them, guess what? The family wants to get saved. Others want to come and have what they have. I remember when I first got saved, my younger brother, he accepted Christ before I did. I didn't understand it all. And like I said, we were raised Catholic. But I knew my brother had something different than I had. There's something about him. He was always telling me about the Lord and different things. And I really didn't understand it all. But when I went down to Mississippi to visit him, after I'd gotten out of the Marine Corps, went down to Mississippi to visit him, and he was in the Air Force, and his pastor came over and talked to me, and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I understood what he had. And you know, when I accepted Christ, I remember after I was baptized in the church, at Temple Baptist Church here in Wichita, after I'd gotten back to Wichita, and I remember thinking, all those old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new in my life. As I begin to get into the scripture and see these things, and I believe that this jailer and his family, the same way, they believed in God and all his house. And then we find out in verse 35, get down to the end of the chapter here and where we want to end up today. And it says, "And when it was day, the magistrate sent for the sergeant, saying, 'Let those men go.'" This is a good part. I like this part of the chapter. I really do. The magistrate says, "Hey, you know, we probably shouldn't. There's really nothing going on here. It's just these guys arguing about their money. They're losing money. They didn't make a decision. Hey, just let them go." And the keeper came to the prison and told this saying to Paul and the magistrate to let them go. "Now, therefore, depart," he said, "and go in peace." All right, Paul, you're released. The magistrate said, "It's okay. you just go ahead and go. Well, they had beaten them, and they'd put them in jail. And then Paul comes up with something that he wants to object about just a little. And Paul says unto them, they have beaten us openly and condemned us, or condemned, being Romans. Folks, they thought they were Jews. They weren't. Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. Why do you think clear back there when Barnabas and Paul were having their little bit of a discussion over John Mark, that all of a sudden there was a man there by the name of Silas? You think that was by accident? No way. God knew what was coming in the future. He needed a Roman with Paul. He knew that Paul had the Roman citizenship. So did Silas. And so this is great, because he says to him, well, okay, it's nice that you're going to let us go and everything, but is this the way you treat Romans? He says, being Romans and have been cast into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, he says, that's not going to happen. I got some citizenship here. You know, sometimes we like, as Americans, sometimes we like to bring up our citizenship. I'm a citizen. I won't go into all the citizenship issues today. But anyway, we got rights. We have some rights here. So Paul says, hey, you did this privately. He says, nay, verily. He said, I mean, when he says that, verily, listen to me. That's what every time the Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Every time he said those two words, verily, verily, he meant you to listen up. That's what Paul was saying here. He said, nay, verily, he said, listen to me. He says, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. He wanted them to realize that one of those magistrates to realize they just can't act this way. They need to know more about somebody who they're going to beat and they're going to cast into prison. You need to know, have some more understanding of the situation. They just took them, they beat them, and put them in prison. And Paul said, we're not going to stand for that. And he says, and the sergeant told these words unto the magistrate, and they feared. They feared. They knew they were in trouble. Caesar just didn't really put up with that stuff. And to his Roman citizens and those things, they had rights. They had rights above the Jews, above anybody else that they conquered, the barbarians or whatever it may be. The Romans had rights. When the Romans said something, it was the law. That was it. And we're going to see that in some more of the chapters here in the book of Acts as they come before some of the rulers, the governors, and of the state. So, anyway, they had rights. And it said here, they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And it says, and they came and brought them and besought them and brought them out. They besought them. We're sorry. I mean, I believe there were some apologies going on here. We're sorry for what we've done. We didn't really realize you were Romans. And they were trying to back out of this thing as best as they could anyway. And they sought them and brought them out and desired from them to depart out of the city. Guys, we'd really like you just to move on, if you don't mind. We don't really care. You know, we're sorry for what we've done. I can just hear them trying to get out of this, trying to apologize. We don't hear very much of politicians doing that much when they do something wrong these days, but they ought to, because we are the citizens. We have the rights. But anyway, I'm not going to go in there either. So, I believe that we do have rights in school boards. I don't think the government needs to tell us what to do. I wasn't going there, never mind. But anyway, they came to them and they besought them to leave and desired them to depart from the city. Verse 40 says, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. Lydia had already told them that they could stay. She could stay with they could stay with her, and she would take care of them and meet their needs and all these things. She was a lady that was saved in the city at that time, and I believe there's other believers that were coming along at this time. And it says, and when they had seen the brethren, they just didn't depart the same day. They didn't leave the area just the same day. But they decided that they would stick around. They would visit the brethren, and they comforted them before they departed. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, that was the reason why they were going back on the second missionary journey, was to comfort the believers, to get them some real assurance that God's in control and that God's going to take care of them and all these things. And here they could come to these guys, these believers now, and say, you know, God has a plan for everything. God had a plan for Barnabas for Barnabas and Mark, and God had a plan also for Paul and Silas. And God brought them together for a reason. And I believe one of the reasons was this event right here, that they could go to be beaten and be put in prison and then be released graciously and told that they were treated wrongly. And so anyway, that impressed a lot of people there around there. And the brethren, they were able to comfort them, showing them that God is the one in control. God's the one that's going to take care of things. And I believe that we need to realize that things are going to work out, believe it or not. No matter how bad things may look, God is still in control. It's not government. It's not the governor or the president or any of those things. God is still in control. And so they were able to encourage them. And the Bible doesn't really tell us how long they stayed there. But in chapter 17, it says, "Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonian, they came unto Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews." So it tells me in Philippi there was not a synagogue, but there is one here in Thessalonica. And Paul, as the manner, it says, verse 2, Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And so we're going to see Paul is back to doing his missionary journey. He started just as he always started out, had opportunity. When the Sabbath day came, he was in the synagogue. And there he was, and he's going to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see some good things, and also some things that are going to happen here in chapter 17. And matter of fact, the preacher preached on this last, was it Wednesday night or last Sunday evening? I don't remember. When he got down to when he gets to the Greeks there, when he gets on Mars Hill, that's all here in chapter 17. Anyway, so we're going to stop right there this morning. Thank you for your time, and let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful. Lord, we do serve a great God, and we know, Lord, you're in control. Lord, we've seen how you were in control of Paul's life and Silas, even though, Lord, they had to go through some things that they didn't understand. You still encouraged their heart to continue praying, Lord, and to singing praises to you. Lord, I pray that sometimes as we go through things that we don't understand, Lord, we'd realize that you are still in control, that there's nothing that takes you by surprise. There's not one thing that happens in our lives, Lord, that you don't already know about. Father, I pray that you just be with us this morning as a pastor comes. Now, Lord, I pray that you hide him behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, that your word would be able to go forth. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts that would receive your word. Lord, open our ears that we might be willing to hear. And Father, you've told us, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So Father, I pray, you just be with us this morning that you might be honored and glorified in all we do. We ask it in thy son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. You can get a drink of water or use the restroom, whatever it is you need to do.